Herzlich willkommen zu meinem Podcast Let's Get Loud, deine Talk- und Showbühne für deine kristallklare Message an die Welt. Offen, ehrlich und zensiert. Mein Name ist Lin Pham und ich hoste hier die Show. Wenn du mir auf Instagram folgst, hast du vielleicht mitbekommen, dass ich mein Unternehmen umgebrandet habe auf LSM. Yes, LSM. Denn großartiges Design besteht im Weglassen aller unnötigen Details. Ein Zitat von Ming Chen. Und so, so gerne möchte ich dich über mein brand new offer informieren. The LSM Experience, Unique Sensation Retreat. Ich lade dich herzlich ein, eine neue Perspektive über Love und Sex zu erfahren. Für mehr Liebe bzw. mehr Freiheit in deinem Liebesleben. Mehr Ausleben deiner Sehnsüchte, mehr sexuelle Selbsterkenntnis. Meine LSM Experience findet vom 12. bis 14. Januar in Düsseldorf statt. Und es ist sowohl für Singles als auch für Couples konzipiert. Alle weiteren Infos findest du in den Shownotes. So viel dazu und jetzt geht es los mit dem Podcast-Interview. Viel Freude dabei. Herzlich willkommen zu einem neuen Podcast-Interview in meinem Podcast Let's Get Loud, deine Talk- und Showbühne für deine kristallklare Message. Heute wird das ganze Interview auf Englisch stattfinden, damit du schon Bescheid bist, Und vielleicht erinnert ihr euch an Joel. Joel ist ein guter Freund von mir und ich lade euch herzlich ein, auch die erste Interviewfolge mit ihm anzuhören. Und ich werde auch ab jetzt das Ganze ins Englische switchen. So, warm welcome to Joel. Thank you so much for being here. I'm so happy that you're taking your time once again in my amazing podcast, Let's Get Loud, to share your insights with me, with us, with my community, because I think we can learn a lot from your experience. And as I already said in my very, very, very first podcast interview with you, there were already so many nuggets, and I'm just gonna put the link so you can, if you haven't watched it yet, big invite to watch this interview. And I'm honestly saying my English isn't perfect, but I don't care. I just go forward. And learning by doing. Joel is a good friend of mine and an entrepreneur. And in this episode, we're just going to talk about entrepreneurship, because I'm so curious about it. And I have some deep questions. And Joel, first of all, so nice to have you here.
Yeah, thanks. Good to be here. Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me again. Love your show.
How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. You know, it's always busy, but always have time for, you know, conversations with people who are important to me, but also, you know, just, you know, having talks that are important in general. So glad to make time for us to connect today.
Yeah, perfect. So nice. Where are you actually right now?
I'm in St. Petersburg,
obviously,
Florida.
In the car?
Yeah, in my car. Yeah. But yeah, I'm in St. Pete, Florida right now. My internet at home kind of gave out. So it was one of those quick get in the car.
Yeah, amazing. But this is a skill of an entrepreneur, right? When it doesn't work there, okay, where's the another solution? I'm just gonna go to my car, and we have a podcast interview in the car. How amazing is that?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's critical to be able to adapt as an entrepreneur. As they say, it's either adapt or die, you know. And so, I mean, that applied. Obviously, that's an extreme example. But you know, even in small things like internet going out, okay, don't freak out. Just where else can I get internet? Hop in a car and go. In fact, I even came to a coffee shop first, but it's so busy. I said, okay, let me get in the car. So that's how I got in the car.
Okay. Cool. Maybe for someone who don't know you yet, would you like just say some short sentences, or when was it your first experience with entrepreneurship?
Well, my background is kind of, it's not a traditional path, right? And so I'm not sure how much value others may get out of my origin story, beyond maybe some inspiration, but it's not a typical foray into entrepreneurship. My parents were immigrants to America. And so, you know, they naturally had to always be adapting just to survive, right? I went to college for music, went to graduate school for conducting, and I was offered the opportunity to sign a record deal with a record company to conduct music, you know, on a label. And I just did the math and just kind of felt like I wasn't getting the true value of work I was creating and that it was going to the label. So I ended up turning down that deal. And, you know, at the time, a friend of mine said, well, if you don't sign a record deal, how would you be discovered by other people? Which is a very practical question because this is before Spotify and things like Pandora were in America, right? And so I said, well, imagine something like Amazon for Music, where people could go and discover music, not because they know the artist, but based on their moods, their tastes, their interests, events in their lives. And through that process, they would discover music. And she said, well, how would that work? So, you know, we were in her dorm room at the time. And so, you know, I kind of took a piece of paper, wrote out some conceptual diagrams, drew it out, right? Well, this matching would work like this and people would do this. So I kind of walked through the whole process. And, you know, it was a cool idea that I had, right? Just like that. And turns out she was a nanny for a billionaire and she told this guy that she wasn't going to come work for him anymore because her friend had an idea and she wanted to help pursue it. Even though that wasn't true, I was just thinking about it. This guy calls me up and says, hey, I'm so-and-so. My family does such and such. I hear you have an idea that's so good that, you know, this person won't come work for me next summer, you know, to stay in my mansion on the sea. So what's your idea that's so good? And I'm like, well, just so you know, I'm not a business guy. I'm a conductor. He goes, I don't care. Just tell me your idea. So I told him the concept and how it would work. And he asked me a bunch of questions. And within half hour, he was like, oh my gosh, this is the most amazing thing I've ever heard. And your passion and your vision for this thing, even if it doesn't work, it deserves the opportunity to have a chance. So how much money do you need to get started? I was like, I don't know. So I said, give me 24 hours. So I called some friends who were business owners. We pulled an all-nighter, put together a conceptual business plan and kind of formalized some things. And the next day I told the guy boldly, I'm gonna need $1 million to do this. And up front, I'm gonna need $250,000 to get started. And he said, you know what? Sounds great. I'll see you in 2 weeks. So he flew from Europe with his entire family and his advisors. They came to America. We sat down, had a meeting. I had already in that short time frame pulled together a co-founder, some advisors and things like that. And he gave us a check right there. And boom, that was how I got into entrepreneurship.
Wow. Amazing. Yeah, I remember with the record deal from the last episode, the last interview, we talked about it. And Joel, what does it really take to be an entrepreneur?
Well, it takes a lot of things, but I think some of the most important that I can highlight are, number one, I think entrepreneurs have a foundational belief, right? Faith. And not faith in the context of religion, but faith that when they tell a mountain to move, it will move, right? There's this inherent belief in yourself that you've got to have, that when you move resources, that they respond. So that's a critical piece, faith. Faith in a all-encompassing power, I would say. The second thing is faith in yourself, belief in yourself, right? It's one thing to have a belief in some, you know, all-encompassing power. Some call it God, right? But to also believe in yourself, right? You are valuable. You have worth. You have power. You can do things. And also, you got to have a desire, I believe personally, to serve, right? There are people that go into this to make money, sure, but you're not making money without giving something in exchange for it, right? And so in that case, money becomes a byproduct of what you do. It becomes a result. Therefore, it shouldn't be the focus. It's automatic. Focus on serving, service, giving people what they need, solving a problem, and the end result of that is money. So it's kind of those three things, right? Faith in alchemist and power, faith in yourself, and a servant mentality.
Okay. So I'm just going to repeat. So faith, right? Belief in yourself and the desire to serve.
Yeah. Now, that being said, you can choose to go into entrepreneurship for the purpose of being rich. Of course you can, right? Yeah. But I think we learn from studying those that came before us that those who have a certain mentality, A, they make all the money, truly, and B, they actually solve problems that move mankind forward in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing. And sure. I would like to move to the next question. What does the entrepreneur think in comparison to the self-employed when it comes to the growth of the company?
How does an entrepreneur think versus a self-employed person when it comes to the growth of a company, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, well, so this presupposes that the company is already established, obviously, and it's kind of figured out some things and now it's ready to grow. As I see it, self-employed is more of a lifestyle business, right? To me, like being a business owner versus being an entrepreneur are different things. Mm-hmm. Self-employed, there's a ceiling there, right? Because you're one person, right? You don't have infinite capacity and you have no force multipliers in terms of, growing people, right? It's mainly about you at being self-employed. So self-employed kind of approach has a ceiling and the growth is going to focus more on how do I automate some things to go enjoy my life. That's the kind of mentality of self-employed, right? At least in my experience. Whereas I think the entrepreneur, it's about creating jobs, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, we're solving this problem. Okay, we know that we have the right solution. Now we need to give it to more people. That means what? I must manage people. I have to hire people, grow people, expand, empower people just to get the product that I have in mind and created to get into more hands. Self-employed is more about me, right? Mm-hmm. So I think on a fundamental level, those are kind of that's the main difference, I would say, between the entrepreneur and the self-employed kind of business person.
Okay. And you've just mentioned business owner and the other part was?
Entrepreneur.
Yeah. Can you please tell us the difference between these two?
Yeah. So an entrepreneur is someone who takes high risks to try to solve some problem or capture some opportunity in a new way. A business owner is, I'm going to own a franchise of McDonald's. Right? A business owner doesn't really have to innovate, right? They are tapping into a model that pre-exists, that works, it's standardized, right? They're solving common things in common ways. Nothing wrong with that. It's important, right? We need people to own gas stations, for example. We need people to own, Starbucks coffee shops, right? McDonald's, all these different things. Nothing wrong with that whatsoever. We need people to do that. But those kind of people aren't the ones that build businesses that change communities, that change states, countries, and change the world, right? Businesses that change the world are ventures, right? Entrepreneurship, I don't want to define is an entrepreneur is someone who pursues a high risk business in a high-risk environment, right? It's all about the risk for the entrepreneur. The business owner, again, is taking the safe route. Oh, let me open a bank. Let me do this. Things that don't require really high risk, just require some money, some general business knowledge, and you can go do it, right? Mm-hmm. Another example would be like someone that owns a hair salon, for example, right? Yeah. These are services that people need that are very important, but it's a very finite business, right? If you're going to build an empire off of hair salons, you're going to have a ton of locations, a ton of people, right? And what's really innovative about cutting someone's hair down, down to a one, for example, right? Maybe there's some new hairstyle you can try, things like that. But by and large, as I understand it, women tend to, some may change their hair often, but still not something that they do every day, right? Yeah. It's every few months, for example, right? So these businesses operate differently than entrepreneurship, where you're saying, okay, for example, my gosh, people have hair, but there's no really good way for people to manage their hair. This thing called the comb.
The what?
Let me invent something called the comb.
Ah, okay.
The comb, right?
Ah, okay.
So a business owner might open a salon, whereas the entrepreneur might say, all salon owners have a problem of not having tools to properly manage people's hair. So I invented something called a comb, and I sell it to every business owner that owns a salon, and they use my comb in their salon. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So again, the business
nice example. Person,
yeah, the business person, provides a service, right? Uh-huh. Whereas the entrepreneur solves a problem.
Ah, nice, nice example. Now I got it. Thank you for sharing. And honestly, it's such a beautiful weather in Florida. Here in Germany, it's like raining, and I'm sitting here in the dark room right now. Before we started, the sun was shining, everything was fine, and now it's so dark. And just let me put on some lights, okay? I'll be back. I'll be right okay. back.
Crazy weather.
Okay. Much better. Thank you.
Sure.
Okay. I would like to ask you the next question. I have some question. I would like to ask you so many questions, but I say, okay, Joel is an entrepreneur. He has a lot of things to do. So Lynn, take your time. Think twice. What do you really want to ask? And now I'm asking the following question. It's so interesting because many call themselves entrepreneurs these days, but why do only very few actually manage to gain, I hope it's good, pronounced right in English, a foothold in entrepreneurship? Sorry, I just wrote the questions in German and I put it in a translator, and I hope you still get the message.
Yeah. Well, it's like I said earlier, right? I think, well, first of all, entrepreneurship requires vision, right? You have to see what others don't see. Mm-hmm. And you have to have a very, very, very intuitive senses and take big risks. Most people aren't willing to take big risks. Right. Most people.
What would be a big risk?
Okay. So, for example, okay, I think people want some new music service where they don't have to sign a record label, for example. Right. Let me not take a job that's paying me the equivalent of 150,000 euros every year to go try to create some solution that might give people the ability to find music without going through record labels. Right? Risk is, okay, if necessary, don't take a job, quit your job, right? It's giving up your weekends or your evenings, right? Mm-hmm. It's putting yourself in front of people who are telling you no all the time, right? It's spending your last dollar in faith that this time is going to produce a return for you because this is the right thing to spend the money on. And even though it's all you have, you're going to do it because you believe. These are risks, right? You know, getting people to believe in you when you take their money, right? That's a major risk because if you fail, they lose their money. This can break relationships and things like that. Major risks. And, you know, so I think a lot of people love the idea of chasing the life of building something new, creating a business, things like that. But most people don't have an appetite for sustained risk, right? You might take some risk initially, but then quickly stop, right? But to take sustained risks, to go all the way and to bet everything on yourself and your idea, I think few people are willing to do that, right? Now, another thing, you know, so earlier, as I said, you got to have vision. When you see clearly, it becomes easier to take risks. If you can't see clearly, if your goals are not crystal clear, if your why isn't convicting to you, naturally, your mind will kind of raise the flags. Don't take these risks. But if you can see, if you have that faith in yourself and you believe and you know it's your time, even if you fail, you're going to go for it.
Wow. This is an entrepreneur mindset. And the way you say it, I really feel it in my bones that you truly mean what you say. And you've been through that.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's you know, when you study all the entrepreneurs of history, I just, you know, I'll speak of American entrepreneurs because I mean, I'm in America, right? But, you know, when we look at, you know, the history of America over a period of 245 years, roughly, the ability of these people who came from, you know, the colonists themselves, right? You know, the King of England, of course, he had his people who were very smart, of course, right? You had the elites that, you know, founded America. Yeah. But the entrepreneurs who built America, when you understand their stories, right, you begin to see the kind of characteristics that I'm talking about, right? People like Andrew Carnegie, who did not come from wealth, right? People like Henry Ford, John D. Rockefeller. These men did not come from backgrounds that said, you have access to great education or all the money in the world or even the best ideas. These men believed in themselves. They saw opportunities that others didn't see, and they bet everything that they were the ones who were going to do what they did, right? And to this day, we see the same pattern, right? And I'll say one last thing here. The entrepreneur that aims to serve and solve problems never does it for the money. If they did, Elon Musk would stop when he made his first $1 billion. Jeff Bezos would have retired, right, when Amazon was worth $1 billion, right? Steve Jobs would quit Apple after his first billion. Mark Zuckerberg would quit Facebook after his first billion. Reid Hoffman of LinkedIn would quit after the first billion. Why don't these people quit? Because it's not about the money. Never was. It's about solving problems. And the result of solving the problem is money. And that money is used to do what? Create more jobs, spread more programs, invest in new. These guys multiply. They multiply their success by investing in people, other businesses, building better products and services. They never stop serving others. And of course, they get paid handsomely for the way they do it. Whereas the business owner who says, oh yeah, you know, I make $1 million a year and they're showing off on Instagram or TikTok. Yeah, I have an amazing lifestyle, buy my book, blah, 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 blah. What have you really done? What have you really done? You made $1 million and that makes you qualified to teach others? Get out of here.
Get the shit out of here.
I believe one man who the world knows would say something like, you're fired.
Well, I'm just letting your words sync, because in my brain I have to translate it as well a little bit, and it really goes deep. I have to watch this or hear this interview once again, because there were so many nuggets, and I'm not as fast as writing as you saying. And I love the fact that if you are in your energy, I'm asking a question and you're just like flowing. Okay, this. And I really love to hear what you're saying, because it has, in German we say, es hat Hand und Fuß. You know what I mean?
It goes hand and foot.
Yeah. Can I say it in English? Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not just like blah, blah, blah. You've just read that somewhere, or someone told you that. No, it's in your veins. It's like you are living what you're saying. And I really honor that. And thanks for sharing. And thanks for sharing. And sometimes I'm sitting here and I'm like, oh my God, I'm so grateful to know people like you, Joel, to have this opportunity to interview you about these topics, and that you share your experience. Thank you so much.
Yeah, definitely.
So the next question, in your opinion, what are the three strongest characteristics needed to be successful as an entrepreneur in the long term? Because nowadays, I think, me too, honestly, we think just too short, so short term, because short terms are sexy. No, I have to switch my mind as well. Think in long term.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so I mean, that's an important question, because I think I think everyone has it in them to be a great anything. I believe this fundamentally. So to what you're saying about, you know, people thinking in the short term. What's interesting about the short term is it has a very interesting side effect, which is when you embrace the short term, you become resistant to change, right? Because focusing on what's going to happen over the next few days, for example, unless what's going to happen is something positive, you get anxiety about it, right? And so forget about thinking long term. If you can't embrace the idea of change, because everything changes, this is the law of the universe. Everything changes, right? And so for thinking for the long term, I think entrepreneurs have to understand things always change and embrace that fact, right? For example, what does this mean? The idea you started with may not be the same a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, right? You see, for example, look at the first iPhone that was created by Apple. Do they still sell the first iPhone? No. How many times has it changed? I can't tell you how many times it's changed since they made it, right? And the company itself has changed. Now they make laptops. They make all kinds of devices. They make earphones. They make iPads. They make keyboards. They make mouse. They didn't start that way, but they understood we're starting and we're going to change. We're going to change on our terms. This is extremely important, right? There are factors that are out of our control, 100%. But there are factors that are in our control, and we have to hold those things as they are. We should seek to enhance those things, right? And so I think, you know, one of the pillars of success is indeed embracing change. The second one is, you have to embrace continuous learning. You have to be a super learner, right? Which means what? You have to consume knowledge in whatever format it's available. If it's in someone, it's a conversation. If it's in a video, I'm gonna watch it. If it's in a podcast, I'm gonna listen. If it's in a book, I'm gonna read it, right? If it's by doing something, I'm gonna do it. But go through any experience required to gain the knowledge you need to be able to be smarter, to make better decisions as things change, right? That to me is fundamental. Another characteristic is, this is a big one, probably the most important one, is the ability to let go. And that's of anything. you can have an amazing business, but a bad relationship in your personal life. If you can't let that relationship go, it will impact your business. Huh. Right. If you have an amazing relationship in your personal life, but a failing business, and you can't let go of that business, it's going to impact your relationship. So it cuts both ways, right? Mm-hmm. You got to be able to let go of people, of things, of ideas, and even amazing opportunities. You must be willing to let go, because at the end of the day, the value of what's created is never greater than the value of the creator.
Can you please repeat this last sentence once again?
I cannot hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. All perfect.
Okay, great. I'm sorry. Yeah, I hear you now. So what I said was, the value of what's created is never greater than the value of the creator.
So you, the creator.
I am far more valuable than any idea, than anything I could ever create. I'm more valuable. So therefore, this reveals to me it's okay to let go, because if I let this amazing opportunity go, I know I can create another one.
Wow.
Wow, if I have to let go of that partner, no big deal. I know I can find another one.
Yeah.
So never be afraid to let go for me. Never be afraid to let go, even when I can't see what's next. That's where faith comes in.
Is there a difference between faith and destiny?
For sure, I think. Faith is something you do. Destiny is somewhere you end up.
Faith is something you do, and destiny is something you end up.
Destiny is somewhere you end up.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
Interesting.
You know, like if you think of the term destination. Right?
Yeah. Destiny. Yeah. Right.
And destination are the same words, right? Just a slight derivative, but you know. Destiny implies you were here to be someplace, to do this particular thing. Faith is the courage to follow through and to do the things required to end up in that place that you're destined to end up in.
Mm-hmm. You're a really good Erklärer, how do I say it in English? Someone who can, a teacher. You're a teacher. You're a really good teacher. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's what you really are. I can learn a lot from you, definitely. And Joel, what do you think is the biggest challenge in entrepreneurship?
I believe too many of us people, humans, right? Don't really know who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And if we do, we're afraid of our power.
Absolutely.
And I think what that translates to into entrepreneurship, to be afraid of your power as an entrepreneur, it means to not have the courage to act on bold ideas. It means to not have the courage to follow through on tough decisions. It means not seizing the moment because we lack a belief in ourselves that either we can do it or we're the right ones to do it, right? Entrepreneurship is really, to me, a journey of self-mastery, right? It's a journey of being the absolute best version of yourself and inspiring others to do the same. And I think, you know, a shortage of those kind of qualities in people, no matter how good an idea may be, you won't have what it takes to withstand the storm that you're gonna surely encounter on your path to success.
Mm.
Yeah.
Great one. And what do you think, what is the greatest gift of having an ongoing profitable business?
Well, that's an easy one, right? The greatest gift is multiplying your time.
Supply.
When you have a business that's successful, what does that mean? It means you have the resources to do multiple things at once, right? Your money can be running your business while paying for your vacation, while putting your kids through school, while, you know, investing in a bank account or in some stock market somewhere that's giving you a return. Mm-hmm. All these things, all of your time being multiplied to do things for you. Right. That's to me that's the great gift of having a business that's successful is, you know, having that kind of power over my time and being able to multiply things that I do because I have the resources to do those things.
Mm. And I mean, like time, we all have like 24 hours per day. And as an entrepreneur, do you use your time much more focused? You know what I mean? So it's like you're planning everything in much in little details. Now I'm going to do this, now this, now this.
Well, I mean, it's about being clear on what needs to be done. Mm-hmm. Prioritize what needs to be done and then just do it, right? It's a simple formula that's very tough for people to follow, right? What needs to be done? Get clear about that. And number two, have the discipline and the courage to do it, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that also means saying no to things that are not important, right? Or to shiny objects, mm-hmm. you know? And so those kind of, for me, always thinking about prioritizing what's important to do with my time, I'm always doing the most important thing. And that is a straight, it's a great way. Almost like I want to call it a cheat code. It's a shortcut to success, right? Just think about it. If you're always doing the most important thing in the moment, rather than just doing things for the sake of doing things, which yields greater value? Oh, my to-do list is fully checked off. Yay. Or I have a list of five things, but I did only two things, and those things were the most important. They yield the most success. The other three things, I don't care about them for now.
Mm.
Tomorrow morning, those three things, do they matter? Is it the most important thing for me right now and today? If not, at the bottom of the list, they will stay.
Mm.
And at some point you realize this has been here for 3 weeks or a month. I don't need it. Cross it off.
That's a good one. Thanks for sharing that once again. So I'm just going to think about my priorities. Yeah. And would you say that an entrepreneur can do a thing much in less time than someone else? So much effective, more effective?
Well, it comes down to how fast you learn.
Ah, okay.
I mean, entrepreneurs, so if you're doing something, are you doing it right? Right? Well, do you know how to do it? Are you doing it right? If not, do you know where to get the knowledge to do it right? Do you have the discipline to learn, to access the knowledge in whatever format's available to then go do the thing, right? And if it's wrong, can you redo it, right? If you think like this, you're constantly learning and you're in the, and your mind becomes super powerful in it, that any task you set out to do, your mind is gonna seek to find the most efficient way to do it right the first time. And so it's gonna naturally ask questions. Do I know how to do this? Okay. Yes, I do. Go do it. If I don't know how to do it, where can I go learn how to do it? And I'm gonna go learn first, then do it, right? And so I think, you know, it comes down to those things. If you can learn, if you're able to focus on something with great intensity, yes, you can do it faster. You can do it better than those around you. And even if you can't do it faster, if you do it better, you're winning. Because think about it. If we have a goal of doing a race, right? And you start off before me and you're like crazy going fast and I'm just jogging, right? But then you get tired and you stop, right? And then, you know, you need water. Whereas I'm jogging and I don't need to stop. I keep going, right? Well, that morning, the jogger, me, I read the weather report. I knew it was going to be very, very hot. So I made sure to drink a lot of water and to pace myself. Whereas you are relying on the fact that, you know, I ran in high school, in college. I'm an athlete. I'm just going to go. But you didn't know it was going to be very, very hot and humid. And now you're tired, you need water, so you slow down, you know, to rest. And I just jog right past you, and I keep going, and I win the race. It's like, you know, have you heard the story of the tortoise and the hare in Germany? Do you have this story? I'm sure you do in some way. Essentially, like, it's like a rabbit versus a turtle in a race.
Ah, right? Okay. Mm-hmm.
It would appear the rabbit is faster, right? But the turtle is a better planner, right? So the entrepreneur that's slower, if they're doing it the right way, they're still gonna win. If you're doing it fast but doing it wrong, it means you gotta go back and do it again, maybe twice, maybe three times. So you're wasting energy and effort and time because you're not learning, right? And so learning is the key to having the ultimate advantage, no matter your weaknesses as an entrepreneur. That's the learning. So if you want to be faster, get better at learning.
Wow. If you want to be faster, get better at learning.
Boom.
Another good one. And Joel, how do you deal with pressure as an entrepreneur? Because you have a lot of responsibility, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's simple. Go through it. Go through it, right? Don't try to run. Go through it. Conquer it. You know, there's a book that I just ordered called The Obstacle is the Way, right? Which is a pretty powerful idea if you think about it, right? If you're in a room and you want to get out of the room and there's only a door, well, the way out of the room is through that door.
Yeah.
Right. The obstacle, if you're in the thick of an obstacle, the only way out is through it. And so embrace it. Right. Again, the things created are never greater than the creator. An obstacle in entrepreneurship is most likely going to be man-made. Okay. Well, what's greater, the man-made obstacle or the man who makes the obstacle? The man who makes it. Therefore, I as an entrepreneur am greater than any obstacle that I'm going to face. I have to believe that. Mm-hmm. And it's that belief that says to me, wait a second, I have to have $2 million to do this, but I have only $10 in the bank account today. Keep going. Mm-hmm. I know I'm going to overcome this problem. I don't have the expertise to do this, and I don't have the time or the degree to go learn it. Doesn't matter. Someone out there does. I'm going to convince them to be on my team. We have no customers. It doesn't matter. I know that people need the service and this product, so I'm going to do whatever I can in my power to find them.
Yeah.
The obstacle is the way. And in fact, the obstacle reveals to you how much you really want success.
Mm-hmm.
Suppose there's a mountain and at the top of the mountain is $1 trillion, right? Some crazy number. So yeah. $1 trillion in cash is at the top of a mountain.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, guys, whoever can get up there can go get it. But you have to climb. Some people start, they put in after one day. Oh man, I look down. This is getting scary for me. I'm gonna go back, right? Or you know what? It's not worth the effort, right? people will try, but many will quit, and they're gonna justify quitting for one reason or another.
They
convince themselves that it's impossible, or there's some obstacle that they can't overcome, the mountain, right? Whereas the people who believe say, okay, no matter what it takes, I'm gonna get there. First thing first, what do I know about climbing mountains? Probably nothing. So what's the difference? Some people who don't know, but they want the money, they're gonna start right away. Good for you. You had the courage and passion and drive. You just jumped in, but you're unprepared. You're not ready to succeed. You're not ready to even struggle. So you start, then you realize, gosh, I don't have enough water. I have the wrong shoes. I don't have rope. I don't have the right clothes. I don't have this. I don't have that. So you're forced to go back. You're forced to quit because you don't have the knowledge. Whereas someone who knows because they learned, okay, I need to have proper clothing, make sure the weather is good, prepare for the weather based on the weather, whatever it is, have plenty of food, plenty of water, plenty of rope, all sorts of things that are required in the process to climb that mountain to get the prize, right? So the obstacle really is a way that reveals to you how much do you really want the prize.
Mm-hmm.
Hope that made some sense.
Definitely. I love your examples. So I can have a picture and I learn from these examples. Really good.
Yeah.
So I have one last question because I love to watch movies and maybe you too, when you're hearing this or watching this, do you have a movie where you say, wow, in this movie, in entrepreneurship is lived in a valuable way, maybe from a characteristic from this movie?
Yeah, there are plenty, but I think one of them that comes to mind is The Founder. Have you heard this movie? Yeah. Have you heard of this movie?
Once again?
Have you heard of this movie?
I think, yes. I'm just going to check if I have the right movie now. The Founder.
Yeah, it's about the story of McDonald's.
No. I didn't watch that yet.
Interesting story. And it'll show you exactly what I meant between owning a business and being an entrepreneur, right? Classic example. You'll see all the tidbits of faith, persistence, learning, asking advice from those who know, right? Always constantly aiming to find a solution to problems and never stopping. Phenomenal movie.
Wow. Okay. I'm going to watch The Founder. Okay. Thank you so great. Much, Joel.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you so much for your time, for all your knowledge, your experience, for sharing this with us. And wow, what an amazing interview.
That was fun.
Thank you. Thanks. Once again, thank you for sharing all that and your examples. You're a great teacher. I'm very happy and grateful and can I say appreciate our connection? Can I say that?
Of course. Yeah. And I feel the same.
Thank you so much. So the last words to entrepreneurship for this episode are going to you so you can close our interview, my dear guest.
Yeah. Well, dream big and take it step by step.
Dream big and take it step by step. Okay. Joel, thank you so much. Hope to see you soon in person.
Yeah.
Thanks for your time and all your knowledge once again. And we hope that you just pick out these nuggets, what you need right now. And I think this was a very valuable interview. And just thank you for listening. And Joel, once again, thank you, my friend.
Yeah.
Thank you so
much.
You
got it. Thank you.
See you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Wenn du bis hierhin hörst, dann möchte ich mich von ganzem Herzen für deine Aufmerksamkeit, dein Interesse und deine Zeit bedanken. Ich hoffe, dass du dein passendes Puzzlestück aus dieser Folge für dich mitnehmen konntest. Und abschließend möchte ich die Einladung nochmal aussprechen, dir alle Infos zu LSM Experience Unique Sensation Retreat zu holen und für dich zu spüren, ob es dich ruft. Ich bin so überzeugt davon und würde es mir selbst schenken. Feel myself. Schau sehr gerne in die Shownotes, da habe ich alles für dich verlinkt. Ich freue mich unfassbar auf unsere Live-Begegnung und danke, dass du hier bist und Teil meiner Vision bist. Bis zur nächsten Podcast-Episode. LSM Vibes an dich, deine Lynn.